We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the day.
Good morning. You are tuned in to the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of the day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad, and our guest this morning is Pastor Tim Patterson. Morning. How are you this morning?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I see you stopped and grabbed your coffee.
I did. That's I don't have a whole lot of vices in life, but that's one of them.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page, and we'll do our best to get it on paper so we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll get it posted shortly after the program is ended. Our sponsor for today is Barber Dyson Ford, located here in Elk City. If you're in the market for a new or used vehicle, I want to encourage you to reach out to Barber Dyson because they can find you what you're looking for, even if it's a red Dodge. If you would like to be put on the wheel for the book blessing for this month, all you have to do is like, share, and comment done. The book for this month is Praying for Your Children, Praying for Your Child, Pray Big for Your Child by Will Davis Jr. I had to find my note, y'all. I think I covered it all. Would you please pray to start us out, sir?
Yes, ma'am. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We know that your word is anointed, and we pray, God, that as it goes out today, that it is a blessing to someone, that it encourages, that it strengthens, challenges, draws somebody closer to you. Lord, that your will would be accomplished in each life, Lord, that you would work among all those that are here. We pray for the blessing over Miss Neva and over Monica and Tina and their ministry here. And we just ask that your will be accomplished in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And I do want to add that you can still enter if you don't, even if you don't live in Oklahoma. So if you're, just do it. We're not limited to just Elk City and right. Oklahoma area. So if you are out of state or out of town and you would like to be part of the book blessing for this month, just do it. Like, share, and comment done. We will get the book to you.
Yep, there you go. Awesome.
Okay. Sounds good. I like your title this morning.
Yes, ma'am.
Don't look for another. Just take another look.
Right, yeah. Very familiar passage, Matthew 11. And I probably won't read all of it, but if you're familiar with your Bible at all, or even if you're not overly familiar with your Bible, you've heard the story or heard it mentioned of John the Baptist winds up in prison because he was preaching the truth and ends up in prison. He's baptized Jesus. This man has baptized Jesus, heard God speak out of heaven and say, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And here's John in prison, and he sends his disciples. John had heard everything that was going on while he was in prison of what was going on with Christ, mm-hmm. and heard the words of Christ. He sends two of his disciples, and he says, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" Mm-hmm. Now, he wasn't questioning whether or not Jesus was a prophet. He wasn't questioning whether or not Jesus was from God or whether he was a godly man. He wasn't questioning that. He was asking, "Are you the one, the Messiah?" Now, this is the man who baptized him.
Come on.
This is the man who heard God speak from heaven and say, "Thou art my beloved son." I want to tell you, if a man that has been in that moment has had that experience can get discouraged and can have his doubts, then you can guarantee you and I have our doubts too. A lot of times, and so three reasons that I want to look at, maybe three reasons that John the Baptist had his doubts. Number one, his circumstances. So circumstances are if we're not careful, they will dictate how we feel and they'll dictate our faith. But thankfully, our faith isn't in our feelings, right? Our faith isn't governed by our feelings. But we can't ignore that circumstances do affect us emotionally. I mean, if you're ever sick physically, how does that affect you spiritually? I mean, you know, you don't feel like praying. You don't feel like reading your Bible. If you're like me, I'm like, man, I'd rather sit and vegetate, watch something. I don't want to read when I don't feel well. I don't want to be touched when I don't feel well. And that's really difficult when you have three kids and you don't feel well because they want cuddled, right? And you're like, oh, bless y'all's hearts. Come on, you know. But if we're not careful, we allow circumstances to begin to almost mold our feelings and begin to change our perspective. And we begin to doubt. We really do. And this is one of the things that John the Baptist was dealing with. I mean, he wasn't in prison because he did anything bad. This man was in prison because of his obedience to God. And newsflash, as hard as it is for us to have to accept this, sometimes obedience doesn't always lead us through the tulips. Sometimes it leads us through the rose bush. And we don't get to smell the roses. We just get to get pierced by the thorns, right? Sometimes obedience and being in the perfect will of God doesn't mean everything's bliss. If you'll remember, 11 of the 12 disciples were all martyred, and they were in the perfect will of God. They were preaching the gospel. They were spreading the truth of God's word, the good news of Jesus Christ. But 11 of the 12 died horrible deaths. One hung upside down. One was skinned alive. There was just, you don't know a whole lot about Bartholomew, but we know he died a martyr's death. Timothy wasn't one of the disciples, but one of the pastors that was followed after Paul was stoned to death. Paul went through it. The only one that didn't die a martyr's death was John. And in reality, they tried to kill him too. They tried boiling him alive, but it couldn't kill him. So when you can't kill somebody, what do you do with him? Well, let's just put him where nobody else is, so maybe he can't affect anybody else. Well, that didn't work either. He wrote the book of Revelation while on the Isle of Patmos, and it has forevermore encouraged the church. But circumstances, if we're not careful, can cause us to doubt. And that's where John the Baptist was. Circumstances were affecting him. He was asking, did I miss it somewhere? Anybody ever been there? You feel like you're obeying God, trying to do the best you can, and you're wondering, did I miss it somewhere? Like, maybe I shouldn't have tried that. Maybe we've missed it. And that may not be the case at all. You might be right in the perfect will of God. But sometimes that doesn't always mean easy. A lot of times that doesn't mean easy. Let's just be honest. Because, you know, if you're in the will of God, that means you're out of the will of Satan, and he's going to fight tooth and toenail to get you back in his will. So if the devil, my grandpa used to say, if the devil ain't fighting you, you probably ain't doing something right. But circumstances can dictate that. Secondly, sometimes the reason that we doubt is outside influence. Henry Blackaby, excuse me, when he was in Saskatoon, Canada, he went from pastoring a church that was prospering in California, drove, I think, 1,400 to 1,700 miles to pastor a church of 10 in Saskatoon, Canada. Nice, tropical, wonderful, beautiful California, right? You know, where it's like never cold, to Saskatoon, where it gets negative 40 on a regular basis. No, thank you. But God called him there and drove 1,700 miles to a church that was falling apart. Didn't seem like there was looked like the church was going to close down. But God used them for his glory. And through that church, multiple other churches were started. Mission works happened. But in that, but while they were doing that, they had so many people speak and say, "You're crazy, Henry. You're crazy. You're sacrificing your family. You're sacrificing security. You're crazy. What are you doing? Why are you doing this?" He had so many people discouraged, trying to discourage him. But he said, "I just believe God's big enough to do something, you know." And he said, "We talk about our faith in God. We talk about how God is able to do the impossible, but then we don't live like it." And so sometimes outside influences can really begin to cause us to doubt. And let me say this on that note. Parents, if your children feel God is pulling them towards something, don't be the voice of doubt in their life. Pray for them. Encourage them. I mean, sometimes, don't misunderstand me, we as parents, we want to be that voice of reason, don't we? Like, you know, now, granted, they come and say, "I want to be a missionary to Africa. I want to buy a plane ticket tomorrow." You know, we probably need to encourage them to take things slowly, and we want to and do things the right way. You know, we don't want them, I don't mind if my children want to be a fanatic for Jesus. Other people's kids are fanatics for everything else. Let my kid be a fanatic for Jesus. Don't discourage. Don't be that voice of, you know, there's enough wet blankets. Don't be one of them. You know, there are enough wet blankets out there. You probably don't be the dream crusher. Encourage your children, especially when they're trying to obey the Lord. So that's just a side note. That was free. It didn't cost you anything. But when outside circumstances or outside influences, and this is a kind of a supposition, you know, we're just kind of an assumption that this is probably what happened, but it's likely that this is what some of the doubts that were going on in Paul's or in John's mind were. He heard his disciples talking about everything that Jesus was doing, and he's like, "Well, Jesus's ministry is taking off. Here I am stuck in prison." And, you know, if you're a pastor, guess what? We've been there. Well, that's sometimes how, you know, the guy that is pastoring in the neighbor town, his church is doing really well. They're growing. And you feel like you've been faithful and you've been preaching and you've been praying and you've been serving and you don't feel like your church is going anywhere. Or you don't feel like your ministry, even if you're not a pastor, if you're, you know, if you're in music ministry or children's ministry, whatever it might be, or you've been praying for your children. And you just don't, and other people's children seem like they're doing well in the Lord, and yours seem like they're walking farther away from the Lord. And we can begin to let the outside influences, what we see, really begin to affect us. And lastly, I had my notes and I brought them in here. Sorry. One of the last reasons that maybe John began to doubt was incomplete revelation. He didn't have the full picture. I mean, he knew. I mean, this was the guy that leaped in his mother's belly when Jesus walked in the room when he was in his mama's belly. I mean, he knew that Jesus Christ was Messiah. He knew that there was a lot of, but he didn't have a complete revelation of everything. Can you imagine if we, you know, if we had a revelation of everything God was going to do with our life? Most of us would stay home because we'd say, "I don't want to go through that for God's glory." If that's the road you're going to take me, I mean, think about it. Children of Israel, if they had known God was going to lead them out of Egypt, take them through the Red Sea and instead of around the Red Sea, if they would have known everything, every step, if he'd have sent snapshots of everything that was going to happen, they'd have said, "I think I'll stay in Egypt. It seems a little more comfortable here." you can guarantee they would have, because you heard him say, "Well, why didn't we just go back to Egypt where there's leeks and onions?" Hello? Yeah, leeks and onions and whips carried by men who were your slave owners that were beating you and making you build cities. You forgot the bad over that little bitty piece of good. And sometimes we forget all the good over that little bitty piece of bad that goes on in our life. And so incomplete revelation can be a reason that we doubt. The Bible says we see through a glass dimly or darkly. We can't, you know, you ever look through a frosted glass, or, you know, sometimes you go up to a front door and they've got a glass in there that's all got cattywampus glass in it, and you can't see anything through it hardly at all. That's what it's like in this life. We don't see everything just perfectly clear. But does that mean we look for another? This was the question John asked. He said, they went to him and they said, are you the one we're looking for, or do we look for another? And I want to read Jesus' answer. And Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. So here's Jesus' answer to a man who had some doubt in his life. He wasn't questioning God. He was just wanting to make sure I got it right. Here he was in that moment, and he said, are you the one I'm looking for, or do I look for another? And Jesus tells him, go back and tell John this is what you're seeing. Blind see their sight, lame are walking, lepers are being cleansed, deaf are hearing. Oh, and add this on there. The dead are raised. John the Baptist, just want you to know, not only am I conquering the effects of sin, I'm also conquering what is our greatest enemy, death. I have victory over it. The dead are being raised. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. And then he says, and blessed is he whosoever is not shall not be offended in me. In other words, John, you had it right. And keep the faith, brother, and blessed is the man who is not offended by me. So, in essence, if we could put it in short, Jesus said, John, don't look for another. Just take another look. And sometimes in our life, that's what needs to happen. We can't go look at, you won't find what you're looking for. If the peace has left your life, if the joy has been surrendered in your life to something else, if the addiction has grown in your family, you won't find the answer or the solution anywhere else. Jesus simply said, I'm doing this, 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 and this. And John, you had it right. You don't need to look for another. Jesus is saying to him, John, I'm given to give you a complete revelation myself. I am the one. And Jesus is the answer. And so when we see this answer, this in our doubts, in our circumstances, in when everybody else is speaking doubt and confusion in a world full of fear, and when we don't feel like we have a complete picture, because we don't. We are on this side. We will not see everything in the full picture. But in that, don't look for another. Just take another look. I love when in the book of Revelation, John the Revelator, not the same as John the Baptist, and I know most of y'all know that, but different guys. But John the Revelator, the final of the 12 disciples, the one who had been with Jesus, the John the Beloved, he was at the Mount of Transfiguration. He heard the gospel of Jesus Christ preached. He was part of the elders of the church. This was a man of God now on the Isle of Patmos all by himself. And the Bible says, and I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Guess what? Even when you're all alone, you can get in God's presence and you can have him near. And he says in Revelation 1, he said, I was in the Spirit and I heard a voice behind me. And he said, write this. And he goes down and he said, and then I turned. Notice he heard the voice behind him. He said, and then I turned. And what did he say? I saw a man. And he gave a description of who he saw. A man with eyes like fire, feet like brass. He saw a revelation of Jesus Christ. He, at that moment, all alone, by himself, after everything he had been through, though he knew God and knew Christ, he needed a fresh look. And God granted that. But notice, he didn't get a fresh glimpse of Jesus Christ till he turned. He had to turn away from everything that was going wrong. everything that was bad and say, wait a minute, and heard that voice, turned, and got a fresh glimpse of Jesus Christ. You know what would help us if we renew our passion and fall in love with the gospel and fall in love with Jesus all over again is if we would just hear his voice and turn and get a fresh look of who he is. He's not just some, he's not just a loving God as much as he is, but John saw something that put fear in him. He saw a God who was holy. He saw a God who was pure. He saw a God who was mighty and awesome. And he says, I fell on my knees. Oh, that we could get a fresh glimpse of Jesus that would take us to our knees and say, I need a fresh vision of Jesus Christ. And when he got that, when he got that fresh vision of Jesus Christ, then he was able to write to the seven churches. And then he was able to write to those pastors. And then he was able to write a book that to some people is terrifying, but to me as a Christian is so encouraging. Because we see in the end, Jesus didn't leave us an incomplete revelation, did he? He left us a complete revelation. At the back of the book, we win. Amen. And so when we see this, we don't have to look for another. Just take another look. I'm going to stop there. I've got something I want to say, but I'm going to wait until after this, after you do your